If you're picking up ice, keep your speed up. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into the Aero News special feature. Thanks for downloading us today. Bob Miller is my guest, CFI, flight school operator, and publisher of Over the Airwaves, the journal for the proficient pilot. Bob joins us every Monday here to talk about safety issues, and we try to keep them seasonally appropriate because the priorities on problems that face us will change during the course of the year. And Bob, thanks for joining us today.
As always, Paul, I enjoy being with you.
All right, let's talk about one with which you happen to be closely associated personally, and that is in-flight icing. In the January edition of Over the Airwaves, you had an article on carrying ice, keep the speed up. And this is interesting because even people who have the discipline to always know where they are in relation to stall speed in the course of a flight have to make some adjustments if they start picking up ice.
Well, yes, Paul, and in my own informal surveys among my students and among folks that fly frequently in wintertime conditions back here in the East, I ask them sort of a stump the chump type of question. This is a favorite game we have with some of our aviators, asking questions, hoping they cannot answer it so that we can prove and demonstrate our own, you know, our own superb intellect. And we do that just in good faith and having a lot of fun doing it. And it works both ways and we're always humbled with the outcome. But when I ask a question about what do you suppose are the two nastiest side effects of carrying ice on an airplane, the adverse side effects, and most folks have told me, well, ice provides or creates added drag, which is true, of course, and ice creates added weight to the airplane, which is also true. But what I tried to show in this article using some graphs out of the Pilot's Handbook of Aeronautical Knowledge is a graph showing the relationship between ice and lift. And this is perhaps the nastiest of all side effects or adverse consequences of carrying ice. Ice adversely affects lift. So that translated, where we may have an angle of attack, say, of 16 degrees, that would the critical angle before a stall would be induced. If we have just a light coating of ice on the leading edge of our wings, that angle of attack could be reduced to 12 degrees or 9 degrees or even 8 degrees, so that we will stall much more at a much lower airspeed than we will if we have a clean wing. And this then really begins to complicate the risks. Drag requires increased pitch attitude to maintain altitude. Added weight requires increased pitch attitude to maintain altitude. But if we expect to be able to pitch that airplane all the way up to our known critical angle of attack, we might not ever get there before we stall. And that's the reason for carrying extra airspeed. By carrying extra airspeed, we will keep that angle of attack well below any critical angle of attack, whether or not we're carrying ice.
You know, this sounds to me like a recipe for some things we have read about in, you know, where a general aviation aircraft makes a flight at night, makes the entire flight, and then runs into trouble when it reaches the destination airport. I have to think that there may be people who, A, may not have even known they were picking up ice, or B, knew they were picking up ice but didn't think about it, and it didn't really matter until they started slowing down from cruise speed.
Well, the more sophisticated the airplanes we fly, the less aware we become of the possibility of carrying ice. I have, in my Cessna 210, I have an autopilot, and most newer, certainly all the glass composite airplanes all have autopilots, and there have been several notable icing-related fatalities in a scenario that you've just described, Paul. The individual is flying along at night. He's not seeing or she's not looking at the wings. The aircraft is on autopilot. Everything is going along fine. The autopilot, being really a dumb machine, is instructed to hold a given altitude. And if the airplane begins to accumulate ice and the pilot is not aware of it, the autopilot cannot add power in small general aviation aircraft. We do not have auto throttles. So unless the pilot adds power, the only thing the autopilot will do will be to slowly increase pitch attitude on the aircraft. And if the pilot is not watching the airspeed will drop down from 140 indicated to 135, 120, even 115 before the pilot is even aware of a loss of airspeed. He's not watching. And then before we know it, the airplane is in a very high pitch attitude induced by the autopilot until the point the autopilot can no longer hold that attitude and it will release. And when it releases, then something very suddenly can happen. And nobody likes sudden activities or sudden events in an airplane in IMC conditions. And before we know it, we find ourselves in a turning stall or worse, a spin, carrying ice. And all of this happens just within a second or two.
We're talking about some subtle hazards of flying with ice. More with CFI Bob Miller in a moment. I'm Paul Plack, and you're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Freedom through control. Cirrus has completely reinvented the personal aircraft and the entire experience of owning a personal aircraft. It's a bold new take on private aviation that we call Cirrus Flying 2.0. You set the schedule. You chart the course. You're in control.
Piperjet.
Pipermatch.
Global expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/Piper Aircraft.
Welcome back to the ANN special feature. My guest is CFI Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves. And we're talking about the need to keep your speed up if you find yourself picking up ice. Bob, another thing you mentioned in the article seems particularly applicable to the end of a flight, and that is that if ice accumulation is pushing you closer to stalling, lowering the flaps could make it worse.
Well, yes, and that's another thing that we should keep in mind. Anytime we're carrying ice on an aircraft on final approach and the airplane is flying okay, do not change the shape of the airplane. On the premise that any ice on board the airplane does change the shape, but at least we know it's flying. If we are at a high pitch attitude and flying without lowering flaps, if we lower flaps, we're going to see a further increase in pitch attitude, and that might be just enough to push the airplane into an aerodynamic stall. So a good rule of thumb is when carrying ice on final approach, do not lower the flaps. Look for a way that's sufficiently long enough so you can land without having to apply flaps. And most instrument-equipped runways, certainly all those with an ILS and a small general aviation aircraft, the runway is going to be adequately long enough to prevent or to obviate the need for adding flaps.
Well, when I was first checked out in a Diamond DA-20 by a place that was going to rent one to me, they wanted to take me up and ask me to demonstrate a no-flaps landing. In some aircraft, it can be challenging, and I have to think that it's going to be an issue to some extent, too, of keeping more speed on final than you normally would, because the ice will require more speed, and the lack of flaps will require more speed. It's going to look like you're bringing in a small jet by comparison to what you're used to seeing.
And compounding the problem is the runway surface is likely to be contaminated. It's likely to be covered with snow or hard-packed snow or even black ice. So now we're coming in with a little bit faster airspeed than we're accustomed to, and our braking could be poor, and that worsens the problem. So, sure, wintertime flying with the possibility of carrying ice requires a good deal of additional training, a good deal of additional skills. So your Diamond instructor was well-versed in the importance of this. We should all get out, and this gets back to something we spoke about last week in terms of maintaining our proficiency. Let's practice more no-flap landings and see if we can land without using the brakes whatsoever. And see if we can bring that sleek little airplane to a stop in 3,000 or 4,000 feet. No flaps, no brakes. That's an interesting exercise.
We have a lot of interesting exercises that come from these chats, and I appreciate it. And we will catch you again next Monday.
Thank you, Paul. Talk to you soon.
You can find Bob Miller's latest writings online at overtheairwaves.com. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.